Now, Australian aquatic insects and spiders are taking on drugs on an epic scale. And as with pretty much any environmental disaster, it is all our fault. Scientists have tested some water in Melbourne and the results were really, really bad. Our insects are being exposed to just an absolute plethora of our drugs. The concentrations of the pharmaceuticals actually increase as they move through the food chain. It's called bioaccumulation, and it is the only thing I remember from high school biology, except for mitochondria is the powerhouse of the cell. But what it basically means is that scientists are able to apply how much a predator of these insects would be exposed to. So in this case, platypus. To tell us a little bit more, Dr. Erin Richmond is a research fellow from Monash University, and she joins us on the line now. Erin, thanks so much for speaking with us.
Hi, Tess. Thanks for having me.
Could you tell us a little bit about how we got these results, what the testing process was like?
Yes, yeah, so we've known, for over two decades now that pharmaceutical pollution is occurring in our streams and rivers and waterways all over the world. But I guess what we didn't know and what we set out to find was whether or not these drugs were actually bioaccumulating in the insects and animals that live in these streams. So we selected six sites across Melbourne that were affected by wastewater, and we know that wastewater is a primary source of pharmaceutical contamination. And we went out and basically we were able to test for up to 100 different drugs. And I guess what was most significant about our studies was that we were able to detect almost 70 different pharmaceutical compounds in these aquatic insects and up to 67 different compounds in these riparian spiders, which feed on adult emerged aquatic insects.
Those are some bonkers numbers. What were some of the main drugs that you guys found?
Yeah, so antidepressants, we were able to detect almost everywhere. So citalopram, which is a selective serotonin reuptake inhibitor. We also found things like antibiotics, antifungal medications, all the way through to anti-Parkinson's drugs, antihistamine. So a real cocktail, I guess, for lack of a better word, of drugs we found in all these insects and spiders.
And you say antibiotics, and my mind immediately goes to those antibiotic-resistant superbugs, which I imagine probably not a great thing to have in the water.
Well, no, and we didn't actually, this study sort of detected the presence of these drugs, so we didn't actually look at what these drugs do. But we know from previous studies in our lab group that actually some of these antibiotics can actually suppress key processes like primary production in algae living in streams, for example.
So how much of these drugs are the creatures in the water getting?
Yeah, so it's concentrations that are much, much lower to what you or I would take. But as we were able to see from this study, we were able to, based on what a platypus daily intake would be, we were able to scale up to determine what percentage of a daily dose of these classes of different drugs these animals would be getting. So in some cases, as you mentioned, we found that platypus were getting almost 60% of a human dose of antidepressants and other drugs as well. And of course, fish like trout, for example, aren't immune to. They were getting about 15% of a human dose of antidepressants in some of these streams.
And for such a small animal, that must cause some real damage.
Yeah, certainly. And again, it's certainly an area for future study, but there's been studies done in Sweden where they've found that certain antidepressants can affect fish behaviour, which makes them more susceptible to being preyed upon by birds and other animals that eat fish along the shoreline. So it can certainly have long-lasting effects on these animals.
And I know that your study took place in Melbourne, but this isn't a localised problem to Melbourne, is it?
No, certainly not. So what we are finding is wherever humans are present and we create wastewater, so there was a recent study even in Antarctica where they found concentrations of drugs in surface waters around Antarctica. So pharmaceuticals will find their way into the environment wherever we are, basically, and wherever our wastewater ends up.
So what do we do? Where do we go from here?
Yeah, certainly. I mean, there's some small steps we can all take around the home. I would never suggest to stop taking medication. That's certainly not the answer. But just be mindful of when we dispose of unwanted medications or ones that have passed their use-by date. So we can actually take these drugs back to our pharmacist, who is more equipped, and there is methods of disposing of these in a much more environmentally friendly way rather than flushing them down the toilet, for example. And I guess also if we live in rural areas or areas where we have septic tank hookups and those sorts of things, it's just to check the functionality of these systems to make sure they're not leaking and make sure they're not there's no wastewater making its way into the environment.
Well, scary stuff. Erin, thank you so much for speaking with us.
No, thank you for having me, Tess. Appreciate it.
That was Dr. Erin Richmond. She's a research fellow from Monash University, speaking about how our drugs are getting into the systems of our insects and animals, our friends down in the water. Not good. Humans, we really are good at just destroying all the environment, aren't we?